out of heaven and writes from an angel, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So the news touches all of our hearts here and offered to everybody throughout the earth through the faithful witness of God and His people. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now, joy is a wonderful gift, good news of great joy. And in the Bible, it's frequently put in verses that God preaches to us. 100 times gladness is preached in 100 different verses. So God would offer us the gift of gladness. Joy is preached 200 times in 200 verses. And rejoicing is preached 300 times. So God's bringing our souls, as it were, from darkness and gloom. And sometimes our souls and our emotions feel like the weather of yesterday and today. You wonder, is the sun, does it exist? Yes, it's just behind the big, thick clouds. But God brings us joy in the person of His Son. And the fruit of the Spirit, God's Spirit, is joy. So it's something we don't have naturally. We're not born with a joyful look on our face, clapping and laughing. We are born frowning and yelling and crying. Okay, and so it's hard to get out of that pattern from a long time ago. And as we look at joy as a gift from God, it's important that you don't beat yourself up if you're not, you're not real expressive of joy and those kind of things. We're not saved by joy. We're not saved by the love we express. We're saved by faith in Christ. Okay, we're saved by grace. So it's what the Lord's going to do for us is really the rescue mission that we have joy about. And even if you look at personality types, people who study that kind of thing say there's four different personality types. You're either like a golden retriever, friendly to everybody, an otter, happy about everything, a lion, determined and focused, or a worker bee. And don't bother the worker bee, they'll sting you. Okay. So only two of them are naturally open to joy. The other ones are too busy for joy. Nobody should be joyful unless they're joyful first. And so that some have that gift of that personality. In John's Gospel, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that my joy would be in you and your joy complete. So Jesus has joy, and He would offer that to us, that His joy would be in us if we're not naturally joyful. And He said this, I'll see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. So the world doesn't give us the joy, and the world can't take it away. If you're looking for joy, out in the circumstances of life, you're looking in the wrong place. Look to the Lord. He has the joy. And so we would find joy in Him. And joy is a gift from God, influences our will, helps us surrender to Him, influences our mind, gets our thinking right, whatever is right and true and lovely and honorable, think about those things, and influences our emotions also. And two acrostics that help us remember what joy is, acrostic with the first letter standing for a word, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and yourself. This is the priority of the normal Christian. As he goes through life, he's thinking Christ first, others second, yourself last. Okay, so that's the Lord helps us with that. That's not a natural thing. God puts that in our souls as a gift from Him. The other acrostic is J-O-Y, Jesus over you. When you know Jesus has sovereign ruling and control over your life, you're a joyful, confident person. Because God's in charge of your life, not yourself. So joy is a wonderful gift, and it is noticeable in the believer. One Hindu man in India approached a Christian man and says, what is it about you Christians? What kind of oil do you use around your eyes and your face? Is it Mary Kay? Is it Avon? Is it, I don't know what he was thinking about. But the Christian said, I don't know what you mean. Yeah, everywhere I go, when I meet a Christian, there's a certain beam coming out of them there in their eyes. Things aren't going well, but they have like a joy in their eyes, joy in their face. And the Hindu man was noticing the joy of God. Okay, joy comes from God. And your face shines because God's face is shining on you. Okay? Your face shines because you reflect the shining face of God. Let the Lord's countenance shine upon you is the blessing of the Old Testament. So God anoints you with the oil of gladness, it says in Isaiah chapter 61. And when you think about it, right at this moment, who is the most joyful person in the sanctuary? It's not me. Who's the most joyful person in the sanctuary? It's not the guy counting the offering. Stop that. The singers are joyful, playing, that's good, but they're not the most joyful one all the time in the sanctuary is the Lord. In fact, he's the most joyful one in every room, everywhere, in the whole universe. If you were to say, is there anybody out there joyful, you know? Jesus would say, I am. Well, I created the whole world and I'm in charge, and what I accomplished, give my life for people. He is the most joyful one in the whole universe. And of course, God does grieve, but he has joy and he wants to give that joy to us. And Jonathan Edwards said this, Christ has delight most truly in the salvation of his church. Like a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so the Lord rejoices over you. This is a quote from Isaiah 62. So if you can remember the moment, you know, hopefully your bridegroom was looking somewhat joyful as you came down the aisle. Like the groom rejoices over the bride, so God rejoices over us. And he could put brokenness back together too if that was not the case. So we say about the Lord, we sing about him, joyful, joyful, we adore thee, we adore you. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. If you have a chance, look up the song, the words of the song, Jesus, joy of man's desiring. Okay, you think about that phrase, Jesus, joy of man's desiring. That's sung a lot of weddings. Not sung, but played. And the power of those words connecting God and the gift of love and joy that would come through his son Jesus. And our joy honors the Lord. It really does. It's an honor to him. Just like a good fruit tree, you say, man, look at the fruit. Or some of the folks in the church here grow corn and they say, we got the best seed for the best corn. And they really do. The corn is fantastic. When you have joy, people say there's a seed of where that came from. That's God. Okay. God, the one who is joyful. And so the gift of joy, as the shepherds heard the news, you know, it wasn't based on their feelings, their circumstances, or their experiences. It was based on an objective reality. It's the way things really are. Okay, people use the phrase nowadays, it become the point as irritation, you know. It is what it is. Usually it's said when people can't change anything and they kind of just give up. It's usually not said, you know, at the birth of a child or some big birthday party, 100 years old, you know, hey, fantastic, you're 100. It is what it is, you know. It usually says it and the guy has no hope. He's ready to throw in the towel. It is what it is, you know. I'll just keep going. Well, this one is what it is. That, you know, joy is given from God, not based on feelings, circumstances, or experiences. And joy that was told to the shepherds is greater than happiness. Probably thought that through. Happiness comes and goes based on what is happening. Joy grows like God's fruit. Happiness is based on, often people say, human choice. Oh, just choose to be happy, you know. That may be helpful in some cases, but I don't like that. Because that makes the happiness of the world based on your ability to choose. I wouldn't trust your choices. How about you? And I've seen some of the things I've done. Joy, it has to be a gift from God, even beyond our choices. In fact, happiness is conditional, but joy is unconditional. God gives. He says, who wants this good news of great joy? Unspeakable joy and full of glory. The chaplain of the U.S. Senate praying. He prays for the people in this manner. He says, joy, thank you, Lord, is the gift from heaven for those who know they are loved and forgiven. And Jesus speaks to our soul. He says this, I was born to rescue you. I died for you. I defeated death for you. I am here for you now. This is joy unspeakable and full of glory. So joy, a wonderful gift the Lord would offer us, pointing to the person of His Son, who is most joyful and the source of all joy. Here's some pictures of joy in the Bible. These three all go together. And rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin, I think, or sheep. And coin and sheep, as a matter of fact. In both stories, Jesus said, the searcher says, rejoice with me, I have found my. When God looks at you, He says, rejoice with me, I have found. When you turn to Him, I found my lost pastor. Rejoice with me, I found my lost child. You know, you put your name in there. And then Jesus tells another story where the father, the good father, said, let's have a feast and celebrate. And we had to celebrate and be glad because this son of mine was dead and now he is alive. And so it's God in the Bible who's constantly saying, let's have a feast and celebrate. You thought you were a celebrator kind of person. Could probably guess who you are. You'll be invited to, 15 Christmas gatherings between now and the end of the year. And if you're not invited to any, I'm inviting you to Christmas Eve service. There you go. You have one. But God is the one in the Bible who's always saying, let's have a feast and celebrate. Because He's seeking the lost and saving us from death and hell and sin. And it's a wonderful work that He does. And then there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over, can you fill in the blank, one sinner who repents. So anytime somebody says, I need Jesus, I'm turning to Him, God rejoices. And anytime you as a Christian who are drifting from God maybe, you turn back to God. It's the biggest party in the universe. Woo! And all it's all welcome, you know. God never says, it's about time, you know. Where you been? It's always so glad, have a feast and celebrate. This is God's will and feelings about you. Joy. Some sad news about joy. Three times in the book of Jeremiah, God says, I will bring an end to the sounds of joy and gladness. Now, I don't know if this is happening to your soul or not. Or to, let's say, the American Christian. You know, did God look at the American Christian and say, I'm bringing an end to your joy and gladness? Why was that? Well, they turned away from God. So it can happen. You know, God says it three times, Jeremiah 7, Jeremiah 16, Jeremiah 25. Good news is later on, I think it's in the chapter 30 to 35, God says this, and once again, the sound of joy and gladness will be heard among my people. So God says, when you don't have joy in your life, it's a warning signal. You're turning away from me. Now, sometimes we don't have joy because we're tired. We're really physically tired. But you could be tired and have joy still. Sometimes you have not so much joy because of loss and grief and true pain in your life. It's hard to be joyful when you're having a root canal, you know, physically or spiritually. But I guess you could say, well, it's going to come to an end. But God's joy can abide, but it's a signal if you don't have that to know that it's not just the world. It's again, it's not just the circumstances. It's God and you. Something's not right between God and you. That's why joy has become a stranger to you. So that's the warning. King David knew that. He prayed that God would give him the joy back. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. This is when he was turning back to God. And God still wants to sing over his people. The Lord rejoices over you with singing. So God, again, isn't it amazing? Of all the things in the world God would get joy out of. You know, you look at the oceans, he says, look what I made, that's fantastic. And the sky and everything else. And then he looks at you and I with through the love of Christ and says, I am most happy that these dear children have trusted me and I sing over them. So this could be you. You know, God sings a song over you. And so, let's see what else we have here. The ransom of the Lord. That's when we're brought to receive Christ. We return with everlasting joy, crowning our heads. Gladness and joy overtakes us. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. That's a good thing. This shows, again, God is a source of joy. We're walking through life burdened down, you know, with sad steps of dragging our feet spiritually and everything else. And God says, I'm going to overtake you with gladness and joy. So you could look over your shoulder and you could say to the Lord, hurry up, you know, if you want. I need that gladness and joy that God would bring. It's all in His Son. He's faithful. He's true. He's the first and the last. You'll have joy in Christ. And some other blessings to take to your soul. Joyful living and worship is heartfelt satisfaction in God. So you say, I went to church and I had heartfelt satisfaction in God. And that's how you live. That's how you go to work. That's how you're in the home, you know. And it's not like a mystical thing. It's just down to earth. Let's go see this Jesus, the shepherd said. And God is committed to our ever-increasing joy in Him. This is something John Piper taught about in his teaching, that God wants that fruit to grow. So be patient with yourself if you are not a joyful person. I would have to say, if you followed me along around last 2 weeks, you would say, he's not joyful, especially when I was in the hospital with my sick son. I was not a joyful person when I thought he wasn't getting the help he needed. So it's not always going to be here, but it can be here. So have mercy on yourself and have mercy on your crabby Christian friend, you know. God's still committed to their joy. They'll express it, you know, even if it's have to wait till heaven, that's okay. God's quiet joy in His broken people shows the strength of His grace in weakness. Wonderful verse in 1 Corinthians 2. That God's weakness is stronger than man's strength. So you might think, I'm only going to be strong. I'm only going to be joyful when I'm strong. God says, you could be joyful looking at when you think God is not coming through. The weakness of God at the cross, you know, in delays of prayer, those experiences. God can still say, He's joyful working in your life. And it reminds me of this story, the two stories of end of life. One, the hospice worker is watching a man in his last couple days and having conversation. And the nurse makes a note of how things are going. And she writes a note about the man dying. inappropriately joyful. Doesn't know. I wonder if he's dying. I wonder if he knows he's dying. No, he just knows where he's going. He knows who is with him. And occasionally you and I can be inappropriately joyful. My wife often corrects me. Stop it already. You're being inappropriately joyful. And this can happen in the gift of God. Another story about a man going through rough times, almost the end of his life. His Christian friend tries to encourage him and says, "Hey, I hope glimpses of heaven can sustain you in your rough times." And this is a good prayer, you know, because we're going to have joy with Christ forever. "I hope glimpses of heaven can sustain you in your rough times." And the man says, he's kind of down to earth, "I don't know nothing about no glimpses of heaven, but I sure do trust God's word and his promises." So even if you don't have, you know, even if the sky don't open up like they did for the shepherds and you say, "Aha, I saw the angels and I saw the Lord and I feel good now." You can say, "Well, he said it in the Bible and I sure trust his word." So that brings me a lot of joy. And so good news of great joy for our soul to bless somebody else with. Try not to crush anybody else with your joy. It wasn't meant to be, you know, to the point of giving somebody a headache. But you give somebody a lift, a blessing, with the joy of God. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. We can have joy in our life if we put our trust in you. At any moment, we turn to you and say, "Well, I don't want to reject Jesus like Herod did. I don't want to reject people there's no room in the inn, that theme. But I can be like the shepherds, I could be like the wise men and say, I turn to Christ. I turn to my dear Savior." And give that fruit of joy in our lives. It's not a thing we could even measure or, test ourselves about, but it's certainly a gift that we need. And so, Jesus, be yourself in us and bless each one with the joy of yourself now and all the way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.